Welcome to the Citizens Spotlight, where we sit down with a member of our church family to hear how the Lord has been at work in their life. I'm Stephen Simmons, Director of Communications and a pastor in training here at Citizens. Today, I'll be having a conversation with Courtney LaRussa. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Stephen.
Welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day here in Charlotte. The sky is gray. The ground is wet and we're cold.
Indeed.
I am in a sweater, which I didn't think I'd say a week ago.
Yes.
But here we are.
Yes.
If you had a day like this and you were not chained to a job, what would you be doing?
I would probably be reading a book on the couch or catching up on a TV show.
Yeah.
Not walking the dog.
No, of course not. The dog can walk itself.
Yes.
You know, it's about time it learned. What kind of books do you like to read?
I like more probably fiction, like thriller, typically.
Okay.
So mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like my version that people like to binge Netflix shows. I like to read books. So they're not anything super serious or...
Sure. Do you stick to a particular author or do you kind of hop all over the place?
If I find an author that I like, I will then go read all of their books because I feel like that's a good indicator that I'm going to like whatever else they have.
Totally.
And so I don't have one right now. Well, I do, but I can't remember his name. But
yeah, that's how it goes.
Yes.
I would love the idea of getting into the genre of mysteries, but I kind of have some of that Netflix decision paralysis. If you like walk into a bookstore and like every cover looks the same, it just feels like a word generator of mystery words. And it's just like, I don't know what to do in case someone...
The house next door, the house across the street,
the upside down house, the right side house, the left house, the right... Yeah. So my mom is big into murder mysteries. She's actually working on a murder mystery too. Trying to get that published.
Let me read that.
Yeah. Susan, if you're listening, then Courtney can proofread your manuscript.
Perfect.
And then we'll get it out there on the shelves. So Courtney, what led you to Citizens Church? How did you find out about us?
It was, probably over 3 years ago, but I was attending another church here that I'd been a part of for a couple years. And then I knew the Holtz from that church and was in a community group or life group, we called it, with them, and knew that they had left to help start Citizens, and also friends with the Morrows, who at that point had been coming here as well. So it felt like a good place to start, good, you know, safe place with people who, you know, I trusted their walk with the Lord. So
has church always been a part of your life, or was that like, did you have a stage in your life where you were not really that engaged with church and interested?
Yeah, I grew up Catholic. So we were pretty, I would say fairly involved. You know, we all volunteered and did like the kids service. I went to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. I would not say we were devout Catholics, but we were definitely devout churchgoers. And then I graduated from college and kind of was ready to just live my best life. You know, I was like, I'm going to get my job. I'm going to get my friends. I'm going to live in South End. I'm going to have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really pursue anything church related at that time. But just over the course of probably my mid 20s, I kind of felt like, you know, I have everything that I'm supposed to have. Mm-hmm. Everything is great, but I'm anxious. There's something that's not right here. And so really, my mom encouraged me to find a church, and there was a church behind my apartment, which was probably as good as it was going to get for me at that point. I was probably not at a point where I was going to drive anywhere, but really tried to go looking for like-minded people and community. And then that was really where I finally understood the gospel and who Jesus was and like what that personal relationship was for the first time. And so I went looking for friends and I found Jesus.
Totally. Yeah. What about Citizens stood out and really felt like this is a place that I could really stay for the long term?
Around the time I started coming was really, I think, in the height of COVID and all the craziness of 2020, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt like I just needed a gospel-centered way to think about all of those things that wasn't rooted in, you know, a certain ideology or anything like that, but really just, okay, I need to know the truth. I need to know the gospel. I need to know what the Bible says about all this stuff, and I need that to inform everything versus, you know, the inverse. And so I felt like the teaching was really strong. I felt like everyone that I met was trying their best to follow Jesus as best they could amidst all the craziness. And so that was really appealing and really helped me form the right way to think about the world, especially in that time.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say that that Catholic upbringing helped equip you to better understand some things? Was in some ways, was it almost harder to get over certain aspects of church and the whole religion thing because of that background? How did that impact?
I would say so. I think people talk about the Catholic guilt. I think I have that where, you know, if I don't pray this much or do this much, then God will be disappointed in me. Or, and I wasn't really, I don't think I was ever taught that explicitly, but I think it's just how I internalized it. Mm-hmm. More of a, you know, be a good person, morally upright. Now, knowing what I know, and I think I've been following Jesus for about 7 years now, I can go back to the Catholic Church and actually get a lot out of it. My parents still go. And I think there was some undoing, I think, of just the way that I was thinking about God and how he looks at me. Sure. And, you know, not that performance based or I need to try to be my best so that he'll approve me. Overall, I don't have that, you know, maybe more typical story of leaving the Catholic Church. But sure. I think, you know, just over time, I've realized what I actually believe. And I think there was, again, that was the upbringing that I had and going to church and knowing that that was a safe place and knowing that that's where you should go because of XYZ reason. I think that helped me to go back to it as an adult, knowing that that was a good starting point and a good part of my upbringing that I had.
Yeah. It's a hard balance in churches to find between, like, you do too much structure and it starts to feel very suffocating. And then you have none of that. And it's just like, are we just at a concert? Are we just kind of in a friend group? Like, what's going on? How do we do that? And I know at Citizens, we've really tried to, our like big thing is spiritual formation and like really desiring that our people look more and more like Jesus. And with that, we have lots of series and, you know, institute and these side classes where we are really trying to hammer in, like, these disciplines are good. We want our people doing these disciplines, and we think that doing these disciplines will help folks look more like Jesus. But it can really be tough because there is always that kind of guilt filter in the mind of just like, if I'm not fasting like this or praying this much or reading this amount of scripture, it feels like I'm missing the mark or somehow not. You know, we as a church are really desiring to both put forward, hey, these things are really good and worthwhile. And it's like an invitation to do these things. Like, you're not kicked out of the church if you don't, you know, read this amount, but we just want to equip you to have the ability to do this, to step into this whenever you're ready and whenever you feel the Spirit moving you towards these practices. But also, we hope that it's in a way that you don't feel like you're kind of crushed under this expectation of you need to be at this formation level. And so I wonder if at a church like Citizens, where we have provided all these opportunities to kind of equip and push towards formation, like, has that felt like a better middle ground and an easier way to step into some of the practices of Jesus? Or do you think maybe some of those kind of Catholic alarm bells initially kind of go off of like, oh gosh, what are we doing? This feels really intense again, you know?
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit of both, but generally speaking, I think I came from a church that was maybe less liturgical, and I think I was craving more of that. One of the main things I've learned at Citizens is the connection between like what you are actually doing and your feelings, and that your feelings aren't just the motivator of you to do things, that sometimes it is good to just do things for the sake of doing things because they're good, not because you're getting a reward at the end of it or because God is rewarding you at the end or you're using it to pull on God's puppet strings to get something. Sure. But that just the little things that you do day in and day out are what forms you over the long haul versus those maybe big spiritual moments that happen a few times a year that really can't sustain you for the long haul. Sure. I think personally, maybe part of the Catholic upbringing, as well as really just how I'm bent as a person, do sometimes get me down that path of, oh no, I didn't do this right. I didn't do this well enough. And it has to be walked back and say, this is not for approval. This is for my own good. So how do I view it as benefiting me to look more like Jesus and be closer to God versus, am I going to get graded on this and this spiritual formation and I failed? So, you know, is someone looking down their glasses at me because I did this wrong? So it's definitely, I think, a combination of both.
To be clear, I can set on my glasses if that would be helpful. I can throw them out the window.
Yeah, I was talking about you.
Yeah. Another way that we almost want to try to counterbalance some of that intimidation of I need to look this certain way. And when people look at me and examine my life, they need to see this person who's really soldiering through and doing all these disciplines really well, is we open that up to be not just an individual pursuit, but it's like, we're a Jesus-centered family. You know, it's not just like, look at this Christian soldier marching off alone, you know, to kind of take on the world. It's no, we're in these groups and in these Sunday gatherings, we are creating a community of people that can push one another towards Jesus. So who have been the people at Citizens that have helped you kind of walk alongside you and be folks that you can step into practices together, but then also maybe when you're starting to believe some of these lies and when some of these doubts and this guilt and shame and whatever it may be comes creeping in, who are the people who have been able to point you back to truth and be like, well, no, you are actually firmly secure in Christ. It is not about performance. And who's been able to come alongside you?
I was a part of a community group with more or less the same people for a few years, which I think was really helpful for this kind of thing. These are the themes that continually come up when you're continuing to confess maybe what feels like the same thing or confess surface level things that are really like rooted in the same thing. I would say Jess Cromwell has been a big piece of that. We were in group together for a long time, and I feel like she was always good at encouraging me, but also pointing me back to, hey, this is not for approval. This is not for your salvation. You know, this is not how we should look at it, but that you are chosen, you are loved by God. Being in a new group as well, we're in the McDonald group, which has just been fun to get to know people on a deeper level. Kristen McDonald and I have kind of we're pretty similar. We've found through those one-on-one prayer times, which has been a gift to kind of, when you see something in someone else, you can see it differently, you know, and it's like, hey, this is, you know, you're preaching to someone else, but you're actually end up preaching to yourself, I've found sometimes.
Sure. Those things that you're saying that you're kind of realizing in real time, like, oh, I should be saying that, you know, something that I often find myself telling someone, and on its face, it kind of sounds maybe like an obvious thing of like, you'll be ready when it's time to do the thing. So like if someone's like, oh, I'm about to be a parent, or I'm about to get married, or I'm stepping into this new job, and I just don't feel ready for it, you know, and it's like, well, the Lord, when the time comes, like when that day comes, like you'll be ready for this. God is working in you, and don't lose today over your anxiety for tomorrow, right? Kind of thing. You know, it's like today you're good. God's got you. You're provided for. And in 6 months, this thing is going to happen. And then 6 months after that, the thing you were so scared about, it's in the rear view, you know,
absolutely.
And now you've done it, and you've done the thing, and you're still alive, and it's okay. And we can all think of all the now uncountable things in our past that before them felt like the unsurmountable thing, you know,
yes.
Something of that nature. I constantly find myself telling other people while actively doom spiraling about something on my horizon, the meeting a week from now, you know? Yeah. So is there anything that stands out of like, I find myself telling other people this, and actually Courtney needs to hear this, not just the other person.
Yeah. One of the things that I have learned is God's grace and mercy are for today, and God is outside of space and time, and I am not outside of space and time. And so the grace and mercy that I need for, exactly like you were saying, for next week, I don't have now. And I often find I'm trying to get some type of comfort or peace from God for the future when I'm still, you know, here in the present. And I feel like I say those things to other people if they feel like they're staring down, you know, a really hard circumstance or something in the future.
Yeah.
And I tend to be a more anxious person and thinking in the future and wanting from God in the future what I'm only going to get in those current moments. And so I feel like that is a theme that comes up a lot, because we, people who are anxious, when I say we want to know everything, we want to control everything, and we can't. And so what are we trying to do? We're trying to look ahead and say, well, what if God doesn't show up? What if he doesn't do this? And it's like, well, I don't know that. And however he shows up in that moment, I'm going to be fine. Because like you said, there's those moments in the rear view that I worried about that I'm now not even thinking about. I'm thinking about the next thing. And it's like, he always comes through in whatever way I need in that moment, regardless of whether it looks like I think it's going to or not. And so there's no need to, you know, worry about tomorrow, just like the Bible says.
Yeah, absolutely. So you live in South Charlotte.
Yes.
What are some things that you enjoy doing? I know you talked about reading, you talked about Netflix. Are there any like Charlotte spots that have become like go-to for you?
Well, there's always a new restaurant. So that's classic. Always fun. Mm-hmm. Always like to try new restaurants. We've started going actually more to places like Pineville or Fort Mill, some of like the smaller towns a little bit outside of Charlotte.
Sure.
And it definitely gets that like smaller town local feel. Mm-hmm. Margo's is one of our favorite places. If you've never been, there's a pizza place in Pineville called Margo's. Okay. Really good.
Well, a good pizza spot.
I do enjoy running. Mm. I'm never into it as much as I want to be. Every time I go running or get into it, I'm like, why am I not always running? And then the race is done. And then I'm like, well, I haven't ran in 6 weeks. So what's going on here? Yeah. But I do like to run and be outside. Mm-hmm. I've been into like planting things a little bit more and kind of tending to our yard, which is fun.
Charlotte makes me think of, this is going to sound insane until I can explain myself, Disney World. And the reason I say that is because Disney World is a combination of wonderful parks, each with their own personalities and fun things to do. And so you can have a world of a time in each of these separate parks.
Yep.
And in the same way, Charlotte has all of these wonderful smaller city town things
definitely
all around it that are all very day trippable. You know what I mean? Like you can, whether it's like Matthews, Belmont, Fort Mill, you're talking about, even up in like Huntersville and like Kannapolis is blowing up right now. Like
I've
that's
seen
such
that
a cool place.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been over to, I think it's called the Bowl, the Ballantyne area. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't live too far from the Bowl. We did like the Christmas lights over there and some of the restaurants over there. And yeah, Belmont is super, super cute,
love
super
Belmont.
Fun, like just a totally different vibe. But yeah, I like that we have those areas because it is, you can go for dinner and it's no big deal. And but you can also go to Asheville or the beach or Raleigh or, you know, get a direct flight anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Also good.
Dude, just hop on the airport. Yeah.
Yep.
Are you and Mike's families near Charlotte? Are they all easily reachable?
Fairly easily accessible with the caveat that my brother lives in LA and my sister lives in New York City. So besides the two of them, my parents live here. They live in Weddington and Mike's family is all in the Virginia Beach area, Chesapeake area.
Okay.
So pretty much all of them are there or then there's a few extended family members out, you know, in other parts of Virginia, but all mostly within driving distance. So
it's amazing.
Yeah.
And you got a free couch in the two big cities, LA and New York.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We're going in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks to visit. So
wow.
Should be fun.
Do you have a favorite? Obviously, we want everyone to stay in Charlotte. Let me make that abundantly clear. What's your favorite thing about New York? What do you do when you're in New York? The Big Apple.
Man, New York was really overstimulating the first time I went, but I grew to like it. My sister lives in Brooklyn now, and I haven't been to Brooklyn since she's lived there, but I have been to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that borough. It reminds me a little bit of Chicago in that it's a little more neighborhoody, but you still have all of the, I can walk out my door and throw a rock and hit a shop or a restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's just such a different lifestyle. It's hard to picture living there.
Yeah.
Not for me. It's not for me. My sister loves it. But I do think just the culture, too, is really interesting that you have people who've immigrated from a different country and they've had that restaurant for 100 years and their family runs it. And so different than here, where everyone, you know, they moved here, they work for the bank and, you know.
Yeah.
They go home and whatnot. But I think those type of maybe more family connection type of jobs are interesting and just so different than what we have in the South.
Totally. I remember walking through New York for the first time. I would be on one block walking along, looking around, thinking, I could never live here. This is awful. It's overstimulating, all these things. And then the next block, you're like, this is paradise.
Yeah.
I could live here forever. This is so cool. This is amazing. And in the same way, I've learned about myself. I'm just not a big city guy. Like I do not care for, I want to dip in and dip out. Like I don't, it's just too much. And so if you drop me in the dead center of uptown, I'm sad.
Yes.
but then if I'm sitting at Brakeman's, you know, down in Matthews and it's quiet, you're just watching the trains go by and just all the families and just, it's just like, this is serene. This is like, this is the life. This is wonderful. And so it's just, and I really do enjoy that is it's just like, if there's like a particular aspect about life in Charlotte that's tough, it's like, great, move 30 minutes in that direction and suddenly everything is different,
totally different,
you know?
Which is good and bad.
Yes, that's fair. Good and bad for a lot of reasons. We shifted this year to making groups a thing that you sort of opt into, you know, it's it, once upon a time, if you remember, it's since you had to be part of a group. Now we're like, hey, we think that groups would be good for you to be in, but they're not required. And so now it's kind of a, you know, you opt in, opt out. If there was someone who is new to our church and they're just like, ah, you know, I don't know. It feels like it's a big time commitment. It just feels like a lot. I don't know if I have the bandwidth to fit that in. I don't want to drive there, whatever it is. Like, what would you say is your pitch to this person of like, no, groups are really, this is worth the effort. It is worth the extra exertion of time and emotion and all of this to be a part of one of these groups.
Well, I think what I said earlier about just the formation of doing small things over time is really beneficial, but maybe more important than that, or at least what I've seen in my own life, is how much God speaks through other people. Mm. And you can get great teaching on a Sunday and read your Bible every day and listen to a lot of great Christian content. And none of that really compares to someone who knows you and can do that contextualization of your situation in light of that truth, where, you know, it's all good insight and information to have to go to a gathering, but having people who know you and can speak into your specific situations with gospel truth, that's for me at least been the biggest part of my formation over the entire time I've been trying to follow Jesus, is other people speaking into that and encouraging me and spurring me on. And I think you just miss out on maybe just really personal ways that God wants to speak to you if you stay arm's length from a community.
Yeah. And when it comes to what you were saying earlier of it can start to feel on a week to week basis, like, oh, I'm saying the same stuff, you know, like I'm checking in the same sins and I'm talking through the same things. But it does, when you have extended time regularly following Jesus with other people, if you step back, you know, and you now look at, I think you said it's been about 3 years now that you've been a part of Citizens. It's like Courtney, day one, walking through the front door of Citizens and the things that was on her heart and that she was struggling with and thinking through and wrestling with. Fast forward to now, in a week to week basis, what can feel like I'm saying the same stuff is like, no, actually, if you zoom in too close, it feels like there's no change. But then again, like you zoom out to that 3 years and you're like, oh my gosh, there's been huge change. There's been massive work that this group and these people have week by week, you know, really helped me to look more like Jesus. And it is that long haul, that slow, like week after week, like come participate, be a part of this. I wonder if there are any things that you feel like in your own like walk with Jesus, or just things that you believe about yourself or God, that like you can really see, oh, in 3 years of like regularly being in community, like there's been so much growth and so much healing and so much formation over the years.
There's one verse that I think it's in 2 Corinthians that talks about that. I think it's like we are being transformed by one degree of glory to another. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, but that's like the week to week thing where you're like, yeah, it doesn't feel like you turn 1 degree every week.
One
degree
is nothing.
It's nothing week to week or day to day.
Yeah.
One thing that I don't know that I realized was a root of a lot of my maybe inner turmoil or struggle is image management, where I worry about what other people are going to perceive the situation as and what they're going to think. And I almost come at things of trying to address that versus not putting weight on that, for lack of a better word. My husband is great at that, at not worrying about what other people think or how things are perceived. And so that has been helpful, I think, you know, when bringing things like, well, why do you care? And it's like, gosh, why do I care? And that kind of gets to the heart level of, what am I actually trying to do? Am I trying to be honest, follow Jesus as best I can and let people in? Or am I trying to clean myself up to show everybody that like, hey, I'm confessing this, but don't worry, I already thought of the solution. I found that that was becoming a theme in a lot of my confessions in community group of, all right, how am I going to phrase this? Mm-hmm. And granted, we have more time now to share these things, but even if it was a limited amount of time, how would I share this? What is the solution? So I'm going to be like solutions oriented and, you know, bring it to the group and say, hey, I know that X, Y, Z, or here's how I'm going to repent. And those aren't necessarily bad things to think about. But when it's coming from a motivation of, I want everyone to think that like, I'm good, don't worry. Like, I've already thought this through, versus bringing stuff and just being like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, here's how I feel. I know it's not good, but this is where I'm at. And so not adding caveats or solutions in my confessions is something that I noticed and try not to lean into anymore.
Yeah, it's so hard. I know I have to really stop and pause if I realize, like, I'm preparing a monologue right now. Like, I'm not actually just here to talk about my sin. Yes. I'm here to be like, here's this, but I also have to fill in all the gaps of, like, where I might have been off and what I'm doing, and here's my plan.
Yes.
And it's just like, yeah, it you really know that you have found church family that love you when you just stop thinking about that so much. And mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I actually have freedom to say something that actually sounds off.
Yeah.
And know that these people aren't going to be like, what's wrong with them? You know, but they'll be like, hey, like, we love you, and here's where you're off, but we love you. And here's, you know, how we take this before God and all these things. So that's really great. And it's cool that you also have that alternate personality in Mike to be like, hey, I really struggle with this. And then he can be like, I don't. So, yeah. But then let's kind of work through that and kind of learn from one another and better understand each other more. And y'all both serve in City Kids now.
Yeah.
How has serving in City Kids been? Like, what's the pitch for someone else who's, you know, maybe shy about hopping onto a serve team? Why is City Kids a good team to be serving in?
Because our church is fairly small, you see a lot of kids just kind of running around. And I think when you get to know them too, and you get to know, hey, what, you had this birthday party, how was your birthday party, you know, your princess theme party, or your, you know, cars themed birthday party, or whatever it was, just getting to have those relationships. And I love kids, so I, especially little kids, and obviously all the kids in our church are small, and so it's just fun to see them grow. I've typically am with the babies, so they don't obviously talk back to you, but they're obviously very sweet, and you get to kind of know them, who they are. And as they grow, you're like, hey, remember me? And, you know, usually they don't, but you know, when you're in like the preschool room and you just get to hear them say whatever comes to their mind, it's just fun for me. That's, you know, I wouldn't say anything maybe more deep than that. I think it's fun. They're so funny and sweet, and just, it brings you back down to earth, I think, when you're around small kids who are just innocent and living life in the present and not worried about, you know, the stuff that we worry about as adults. So I think it's fun.
Yeah. It really is just the reminder that so often in the New Testament in particular, talking about like childlike faith and having faith like a child. And you get to, there's no better place to see what is that like than to, you know, be around those kids and to, for all the beauty of like, oh, a group that really understands me and like spiritual formation that's shaping me to be more like Jesus. Sometimes it's nice if it's just like, oh, this is fun. It's fun to be here. Yeah. You know, it's fun to be here and to serve with these people and to play with these kids and to, you know, get to hold these adorable babies and, you know, whatever it may be. But like, sometimes it's just nice when it's fun, you know? And this conversation was fun, Courtney.
Thank you.
Thanks
for
having it.
It was fun for me too.
Yeah, I appreciate you making the time. I hope that you stay dry, and I hope that a fun mystery book is awaiting you this evening.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. I've got one in progress, so maybe I'll finish it.
Love it. Well, thanks for sitting down, Courtney.
Yeah.
And you, the listener, thanks for listening. We'll have another member in here next month, but until then, bye.
Bye.
I never know how to end these. The end.